Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Sam Kahn, TheAthletic.com, joins us, covers college football, has been to Baylor, been to TCU, and also Houston. In the last couple of weeks, we'll have write-ups on them. Join us on 365 Sports with Paul Craig, and I'm David Smoke. Sam, thank you very much. How would you describe at least the first 24 hours or so of this early portion of the spring transfer window?
I think it's manageable more so than the winter window. And I'm not really surprised by that because we are now in a place where we've had these windows for a little bit. We've had portal activity and the unlimited transfer rule obviously is known. I mean, I feel like even though you weren't supposed to have unlimited transfers, I feel like a lot of people were transferring multiple times already before this and getting waivers and such. So I feel like we've been at this a few years now, even though some of this is still evolving and new. I think there's enough, at least at the Power 5 level or Power 4 level, I should say, there's enough programs that have a grasp of this now, and with the collectives and with all the stuff that goes into it with NIL, I think people understand how this works now. And so I saw a lot of commentary yesterday about how there wasn't a lot of fireworks, but I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting a lot of fireworks because I think people understand how this works now. The collectives have settled a little bit. The coaching staff, the recruiting staff, the player personnel and scouting departments, you know, head coaches, they all understand how this works, and the players do too. And I think that there is a little bit of a settling, and I think we will see this as the years go by. I don't think it's going to look like it did the first 2 years of the one-time transfer rule in the portal because we're all getting more used to the effects of it.
Yeah, the big news from today, Sam, would especially in this neck of the woods, would be Dominic Williams from TCU planning to enter the portal. And his is probably opportunistic on the fact that everybody needs defensive tackles right now. But how huge a loss is this for the Horned Frogs?
Yeah, it's a big one. I mean, the guy started every game in the last two seasons, including every game of that 2022 team that went to the national championship game. And that though, guys like him, or they don't just sprout up out of nowhere. You can't just go get another Dominic Williams, especially at a Big 12 school. You know, maybe if you're Alabama or Georgia, maybe you have a better chance of getting another one of those guys. But at a TCU, it is harder to get those guys. So it is an impact loss for them. It is a little surprising to me. I was over there, you know, just a few days ago, and I had not heard any rumblings of this coming. So this is going to, you know, be a little bit of a hole in new defense coordinator Andy Avalos' defense, and they're going to have to compensate for it.
How's TCU feeling heading into year three of Sonny Dykes? Since you mentioned that you just were around the program, really a tale of high in year one and a low in year two. Where do they kind of find themselves, right in the middle?
Yeah, I think There definitely was a wake up call in 2023. And I got the sense that, I think maybe they were, and Sonny Dykes, I think, would admit this. There was a little bit too much assumption that culture would carry over from 22 to 23. And that just because you went and got a bunch of talented players in the portal and you brought some guys back, that, hey, it's all just going to magically happen again. And that approach combined with, you know, some staff changes and things like that, it really, I think, made a difficult go at it in 23. And also a lot of close games, a lot of things went right for them in 22. They had a lot of one possession wins, games that came down to the wire or games that they had to come back to win that they ended up pulling out. Last year they had four losses by one score. And so some of those games went the other way. And I think a regression was expected, but to regress to the point to where they were 5-7, I think was a shock to a lot of them. But I think what I see now is an acknowledgement that, hey, we do need to be better about fostering a culture and understanding that as these rosters are more transient, players come in and out, that we cannot just assume that this is going to take hold just and players too. Can't assume that, hey, just because we got to the championship game last year, it means we're going to automatically be good without doing all the same things that that team did the year before. I think there, that realization is there. Now, how good will they be? Gosh, it's anybody's guess. I think they'll be a better team, but I don't know that I'd be ready to say that they're going to be a 10-win team. I will say that the talent on the roster overall, as I watch them move around, looks pretty good.
We had Jared Wiley, who will be drafted, you would think, at some point late next week on the show at Big 12, the Pro Day. He actually said that he felt that they had just as much talent, but they had terrible upperclassmen leadership, and he also pointed at himself. Dykes make any comments about that or anyone else?
I think there is definitely a void of leadership. I definitely heard that. And that didn't surprise me, though, because when you lose Max Duggan, who was a multi-year starter, Quentin Johnson, who was a multi-year starter, Kendre Miller, Steve Avila. I mean, you go down the list, the D Winters, Dylan Norton. There were so many guys that were multiple-year starters who had been together, Travis Hodges Tomlinson's another.
Yep.
It is just, those are what I call heart and soul guys on a team. And I don't care who you are, when you lose that volume of guys from one roster, it is damn near impossible to replace. Like, I look at a team like Texas, like, did they lose some guys? Yes, they're losing Jalen Ford, and they're losing Jatavion Sanders, and they're losing Jordan Whittington, but they still do have a lot of key guys on that from that team last year coming back that's going to help them. TCU lost so much of that production, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, and I think that combined with some of the new faces that they brought in that didn't really understand what it took and the work and the effort and the leadership that existed before, I think it just made for a little bit of a mess in 23 for them.
Sam Kahn is on with us from the athletic.com on college football. The portal's opened and much more.
Sam, A&M has lost several transfers so far here in the early period. They've lost a lot. Jacoby Matthews, obviously, another one of that 2022 class that did not pan out. And then a couple guys who had just transferred there from other places that aren't going to be there anymore. So I'm not sure how much that's a big deal to them. Could they actually be better next year and have much lower star ratings across the board from the guys on their roster?
Yeah, I do think they can be better. I think that's one thing that bringing Mike Elko in will do. And the fact that he has constructed is that I think they're not going to be as up and down. And I thought under Jimbo Fisher, there was a lot of that where they just were, you could see the ceiling was so, so high, but then there were times where they would play at a level that was so far below their talent and it just would boggle your mind. I don't think that's going to happen under Mike Elko. I think the floor and the consistency is going to be much higher for this program. And they still do have a lot of really good talent, even though they have lost a lot of guys from that 22 class. I look at the offense and I see Connor Wegman. I see a backfield loaded with three guys who were blue chip recruits. I see Noah Thomas, Moose Muhammad. They've got almost their entire offensive line back. On defense, they lost so many of those defensive linemen, but Shamar Stewart is still there. Shamar Turner is still there. Eni White, DJ Hicks, the five-star who was a true freshman last year, he should step in and contribute. Torian York, a guy who was committed to Baylor and flipped late in the process, who turned out to be a star as a freshman last year. There is still really high-end talent on this team. It may not just be as plentiful at the high end, but there's still a lot. And I thought in that winter portal window from the time that Elko got the job to the time they got to February signing day, they did about as good of a job plugging all the holes with all these guys they got on the portal as anybody has done in the country, in my opinion. I thought they did a masterful job of finding guys. And sure, some of those guys are going to be gone. They went into spring with more than 85 scholarship guys. So there was going to be some attrition anyway coming out of spring just to get to the 85 number. But I think they're so much more organized, and I think the team is going to be built with much more thought, because I thought with Jimbo there, they got a little bit too much into star chasing, and regardless of position. I remember that 22 class that had eight defensive linemen. Not to say that having eight defensive linemen is bad, but I didn't think that sometimes they thought through how they constructed the roster, and I think that's going to be a lot different under this regime.
We are in the ultimate adapt or die moment, I feel like, in college football and college sports history. We still don't quite know, Sam, what the end of the road looks like just yet, and we probably got a little bit of a ways to go to get there. But there's a lot of change in the air. Some of it not everybody feels comfortable with, but again, you have to adapt to it. How do you feel about just basically, for lack of a better term, unlimited transfers?
I mean, I don't love it because it just is hard to maintain a team and maintain a culture when guys can come and go. But again, as long as you are not going to revenue share with the players directly, then it's hard to put restrictions on them. And obviously the courts have made that case over and over. And so I understand that. I would love to get to a place where we were not being able to do it in a semester. Like if you transferred in the winter window, then I would like it if you were just there for that 1 year, and then you could go afterwards. After 1 year in residence, I think a year in residence does a lot of good. But I also do understand, we've been hypocritical about this for so long, because coaches have been able to come and go. And,
right.
You know, we've seen how many coaching moves did we see after February? And after December signing day. I mean, there's so many of those that happen. And the thing is if you a coaching change, even a position coach, if that impacts your position, that can change your entire outlook as a player, because you may not fit that coach's style, the way he coaches, the techniques that he uses. I remember talking to some of the UT defensive linemen after, I think, Sarkisian staff got there. they had gone through three different D-line coaches and three different defensive coordinators in 3 years. And that means you learning three things three different ways. And that is not good for the players either. So it really is it's challenging. It's challenging for the staff. It's challenging, I think, for the players, because I do think there is a value to spending a year in residence. But this is kind of where we are for right now.
All right, so you also visited Dave Aranda and Baylor, and probably the most unknown of what to expect after a couple of very disappointing years. And last year, they just were never really in it. What did you learn? Because we're all still trying to figure that out ourselves.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I watched them last week, I went over there last week and visited with them and watched the practice and all that. I get the sense that there's still a lot of energy. I still get the sense that there's a lot of belief. I don't see, you know, negativity. I don't see any of that. And it's funny because I kind of got the same feeling last year when I went over there last spring. I walked out of there thinking this might be a pretty good team. And of course, I was way off on that, as I'm sure everybody else was, because nobody saw what 3-9 coming. But I do think the staff changes have been good. I like the addition of Jake Spavital. He's so experienced, and he's been doing this in this conference for a long time. Obviously, he spent time at West Virginia. He spent time, I think, at Oklahoma State even. And so he is a good quarterback coach. I think he's a good coordinator. I think him working with this will fit Sawyer Robertson so much better from a schematic standpoint. Daquan Finn physically, you really like how he looks. Like he looks the part as a quarterback. So I'll be excited to see how he is fitting into this team. And then Dave having more of a hands-on approach on the defense is really fascinating to me, because he has been mostly a CEO coach in the modern mold that you would expect. And now he's more hands-on with the defense. And he's, you know, I know that's no secret. Everybody that's been following Baylor football knows that. But I think I'm really fascinated to see what it looks like. And can he turn that defense around in 1 year? Knowing his expertise and his background as a coordinator, yeah, I think he can. But the question is how do you balance with all the other things and demands that come with being a head coach? That's the key, because being a head coach in 2024 is no longer just about football. But if you want to do football, you've got to have other guys capable of picking up the load. And that's why they added Jake Spavital. That's why they added Gary Patterson. So Baylor's going to be one of the most fascinating experiments to me in college football this year.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like a bowl of gumbo. It's a lot of different ingredients thrown in. I don't know how good it's going to taste, you know, like when all is said and done. But it'll be interesting to try out and see here. Did you happen to bump into Gary Patterson by any chance?
You saw him roving around the practice field, certainly. Just like I did, you know, when he was at Texas, you would see him on the practice field. And he would be kind of just looking, you know, kind of taking the big picture view. He's got a little piece of paper with some notes and a pen. He's jotting down notes throughout the practice. The same thing I saw him doing at Baylor. You know, he's kind of taking notes and observing. It's not Gary Patterson you expected to see at TCU when he was screaming his head off and losing his voice. Well, not that we had access to TCU practice,
right.
But everybody I know that's been to a TCU practice says that Gary would lose his voice every day because of how he hollers. That's not Gary anymore. Gary didn't do that at Texas, and Gary doesn't do that at Baylor. He is kind of taking the big picture view, taking his notes, and I'm sure him and Dave are visiting after, you know, every day after practice and talking through that. And that's what one thing when he was at Texas, Steve Sarkisian mentioned that Gary was a very good sounding board. It was, hey, Sark, especially as an offensive coach, it was like, hey, I'm going to, you know, this is what I'm doing or what I want to do. How would you attack this? And Gary's a student. He's been around teams for two decades, three decades. He knows what it looks like. And I'm sure there's little things that he probably notices, you know, whether it's technique from players or what players are doing right or wrong, X's and O's. But also, I'm sure little behaviors, things that he notices, because there's more hands-on that Dave Aranda is with the defense. Guess what? He can't be everywhere. And Gary's kind of an extra set of eyes. I think that will be a really big help to him.
Sam, how much of a, I don't want to say make or break, an interesting year for Joe McGuire and Texas Tech 2024 could be, because they've shown positive growth, but they're not like, they haven't broken through yet.
Yeah, I think it's a really big year because there was so much enthusiasm around the hire. And Joey McGuire, obviously, as you guys know, a very excitable guy, easy to rally around because of his personality. And I think, you know, really good, solid first year. Last year, you know, a lot of the quarterback injuries, you wish they had been better. They didn't live up to the expectations that some of us put on them, and myself included. We probably jumped the gun a little bit, proclaiming how good they were going to be last season. Quarterback injuries played in that as well. But I think, yeah, in year three, you've been recruiting at a high level. You've had a stable coaching staff. They haven't really lost much, either on the offensive or defensive staff. Yeah, I think it's time to take a big step forward. I think it's time to start being a real contender in this conference, especially now that Texas and Oklahoma are no longer there. This is a wide open conference. And not to say that Texas Tech deserves to be at the top, but the way they're building and all the ingredients you look at, funding, NIL, infrastructure, coaching staff stability, player recruiting at the high school level, they've worked the portal pretty well. All of those ingredients are there. So I think it is time for it to start to add up to a jump and something really good for them and start making a move toward being a real conference title contender. So I agree with you. Not a make or break year, but if you don't see some positive progress, then you might start asking a few questions about what's going on.
Hey, man, we appreciate it. Sam, as always, good luck covering all this that never ends. The NFL went 12 months a year. Now college football's like almost old. Hold my beer. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Good luck with all the other stuff you're writing.
Thanks so much, guys. Y'all take care.
Sam Kahn, theathletic.com.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.